Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Will you go to heaven when you die? This question has been asked in many a sermon, invitations, and gospel tracts over the recent decades. Today's sermon is entitled, "Where Are the Deceased Saints?" Let me elaborate on that point. Where are the deceased saints today? Where do born-again believers go when they die? You may be saying to yourself, well, that is an easy answer. They are in heaven with Jesus. My response to you is that really true? And can you support that with Scripture? What you will learn from this sermon is absolutely profound and rarely preached on in the 20th and 21st century. However, this doctrinal position was clearly articulated upon by the preachers of old. I will launch this sermon series by looking at a very obscure verse of Scripture that is nestled in a familiar chapter with two very familiar passages of Scripture. The two passages that are well understood and preached upon frequently are John 3:16 and John 3:3, where Jesus is addressing Nicodemus, an honorable Pharisee who was sincerely seeking understanding and recognized that Jesus was a teacher come from God. John 3:16 is, of course, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And John 3:3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." But the passage that my sermon is centered upon is John 3:13. "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." Let me say that again. "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." As a scientist would do, let us ask ourselves some questions. Is this a true statement? If no, was it ever true? Was it true when Jesus said it? Was it true when John penned it? When was this statement true, if ever? And what event in the New Testament and what passage overturned and negated this verse of Scripture? Almost sounds as if the cancel culture was being exercised 2,000 years ago, or maybe just 100 years ago. Another passage to focus on is Psalm 115, verse 16. "The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men." This is not only true in life, but in death and in resurrection. Are you aware that there are three heavens? Paul reveals this very fact in his second epistle to the Corinthians. Enjoy the journey through the Scriptures as I join many passages together that answer these many questions and which emphasizes the conclusion. Please excuse some of the sound quality issues we are experiencing, which is a result of our recording equipment during our services. These problems hopefully will be resolved shortly. I greatly appreciate our program producer, Jeremy, here at Freedom 95, for his fabulous work on editing these sermons and splitting them up into 30-minute episodes. Recording and editing requires a tremendous amount of expertise to make this 30-minute radio program happen each week. Many kudos to my congregation, producer Jeremy, and Freedom 95 for their vast vision in support of religious liberty and liberty of conscience that was near and dear to the preachers that graced the pulpits during the founding of our great Christian Republic. And many thanks to you, my listening audience, for your faithfulness and appreciation. Where are the deceased saints? Part 1. So it says here in 2 Samuel chapter 7, an important covenant that still will be fulfilled. It is not fully fulfilled. "And when thy days be fulfilled," the Lord is talking to David through Nathan, "and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Well, part of verse 13 was fulfilled in Solomon, but the throne being forever is still not fulfilled. And it is speaking of Solomon. It was historic. It was prophetic at the time that it was announced, but David's son Solomon became the one who built that temple for the Lord. David gathered all the supplies. He got all the supplies that were needed for that temple. He had everything in hand, but God did not want David building the temple because of the blood that was on his hands from all the wars. He wanted the temple to be built in a peacetime, and so Solomon built that temple. Verse 14, "I will be his father, and he shall be my son. Okay? Now we read that, we saw that that verse right there is mentioned in the first chapter of the book of Hebrews, talking about the greater son of King David, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. All right, the descendants of David, some of the kings after Solomon were good, and even Solomon at the end of his life, God was angry with Solomon because he started making temples for the false gods. That, remember, how many wives did he have? 700 wives, 300 concubines. And he started making temples because all those wives were not Jewish. They were the daughters of heathen kings that surrounded Israel. And so he started making temples for their false gods. And so God was angry with Solomon. And some of the sons, descendants of Solomon, descendants of King David, were good and some were bad. And he chastened them with the stripes of men, the rod of men. Assyria. Assyria, remember the northern tribe, remember right after Solomon, Israel divided. Rehoboam was the son that inherited the throne after Solomon. And Rehoboam wanted to be tougher and tax the people more. And the 10 tribes said, no way. And they broke off from the southern tribe, from Judah. And that tribe never had a good king. And they started worshiping the calf, the golden calf, because Jeroboam put golden calves in two cities and said, now these are your gods, worship them. And so they didn't have any good kings. And God used Assyria, the Bible says, God used the Assyrian nation, the king of Assyria, as a rod against Israel, the northern tribe. And so there's the rod of men. Verse 15, but my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. David saw that Saul was dethroned. He basically lost his throne. He was removed from his kingship because he wouldn't obey God. And David witnessed that with his own eyes. He was alive and on the earth at that time. So it says, before thee. So he was present. It was something that occurred in his lifetime. Verse 16 is which very interesting. And I didn't see this until I was reading Lang's book on the book of Hebrews. And he bore this out. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. He's going to be present in his glorified body to see that throne established forever. But that's when it's going to be established. Because is Israel's kingdoms restored today? No. The disciples asked the Lord, before he ascended up in heaven, when are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he told them, it's none of your business. And it's Lord's business. Just trust the Lord. And it's in God's hands. And so David has to be resurrected to see this kingdom established forever before thee. There's a restoration. So the word before in verse 16 demands that the fulfillment shall be in resurrection, for only then can David see it, like he saw Saul put away during his mortal lifespan. The kingdom therefore cannot be restored and established until David is resurrected, when all the saints are going to be resurrected. All the saints. Okay, all the saints. I'm going to emphasize this point over and over again. The resurrection, the rapture, is a miraculous major event in Scripture. It's a major event. We'll learn also that it is a cardinal doctrine. And if you notice, I think you have 12 pages. I'm already working on 13 and 14. The apostles asked Jesus before his ascension, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said, in actuality, he said to him, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father hath put in your own power. I said, in my own phraseology, I said, it's none of your business. Isn't that sort of what Jesus is saying? It's not your business. It's not you. You don't know those things. That's God's business. God will determine that. That's the Father's responsibility. Jesus then said the following must first occur. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And that's, we find that in the first chapter of the book of Acts. And right after that is when Jesus ascended into the sky. Thus, referencing the church age of grace and the Great Commission, where Jerusalem is the launching point. In the Messianic kingdom, Jerusalem will be the center point or the center stage. By 70 AD, Jerusalem was a byword and the Jews scattered. And the Lord prophesied those things. If you look in Deuteronomy, we're not going to go there, Deuteronomy 28, 37 and 1 Kings 9, 7. Jerusalem is a byword. Who knows what went on? We weren't alive. We'd have to do some research. But before 1948, what was going on in Jerusalem? Not much, right? It wasn't a major city. It wasn't a major hub in the earth. And it was like that for 2,000 years. Paul informed us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Slept. The dead in Christ. That's a phrase that's used. Those who are dead in Christ have slept. Now, there's a phrase that I don't use. It's called soul sleep. I don't believe in soul sleep. The soul is not asleep. They're awake, but the Lord calls those who are dead in Christ asleep. Them that slept. So when you pass away, I pass away, we say that we sleep in Jesus. For since by man, Adam, came death, Adam brought death into the world, by man, Christ, came also the resurrection of the dead. Jesus Christ in Corinthians is called the last Adam and the first Adam. Was the Adam, the first man that was created, was the first Adam and Jesus is the last Adam. It's also first man and last man. And so for since by man came death, Adam, and by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. First to be glorified. Jesus Christ is the first person ever to be glorified in a resurrected body. So, all the people that were resurrected by Jesus before his crucifixion, and all the saints, the prophets in the Old Testament who resurrected someone, were those people resurrected in glorified bodies? No. They're mortal bodies. Just to raise, life came back into their regular flesh, and their soul was reunited with the body, but they died again. All right, so Christ, the first fruits, will being, he's the first to be glorified. Afterward, they that are Christ, when? At his coming. That's important. Yes, that question. When? At his coming. So Christ the first fruit, afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Glorified only when Christ returns. Then cometh the end. The end of time. Well, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. The end. The end. The end of time. Time, you know, the millennium, there will be time. There will be daytime and there will be nighttime. When does time end? When this earth passes away and there's no more sun. And so the new heaven and the new earth, eternity, that begins eternity because there's no night, there's no new sun. God didn't create a sun. And the Bible says there's no night. They don't close the gates because there's no night. Because the light of his glory illuminates the kingdom, the new kingdom on a new earth. So the end of time, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, Satan being the last. Remember, at the end of the millennial kingdom, the Lord loosed Satan for a season. And we talked about that Gog and Magog there, that battle. And God basically rains down fire upon them and destroys them instantly. The Heavenly Father does that. And they're destroyed and Satan is thrown into the lake of fire. And so that takes place at the end there, at the end of the millennium. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Okay? Because all those people who align themselves with Satan at the end of the millennium age, they die. They die. And that's the last group of human beings that die. They showed their unfaithfulness to the Lord in the kingdom age, and that is the last group of people who die. And those who didn't rise up with Satan, they will go on into eternity with the Lord. When is death destroyed? At the end of the millennial kingdom, the last battle, Gog and Magog, whereupon this present earth passes away and the eternal age begins with a new heaven and a new earth. And I think I pointed that out at the end of September when I came back after I had COVID. I pointed that out, that there's two new earths spoken of in the Bible, the one in Peter, which was my sermon in September, end of September, that's talking of a renewed earth and a renewed heaven, and then there is actually going to be a new earth and a new heaven. Now, when this says new heaven, does that talk about the throne where God is at, the Father sits? No, that's an eternal throne. He's talking about a created heaven. The old created heaven is rolled up, it passes away, and a new created heaven and a new created earth, and then the city of God comes and descends and sits on that new earth. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. This is where eternity starts. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof, and the gate of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night therein. And so that's the beginning of eternity. Because how do we tell time? How does one day click from the next day? Night and day, night and day, night and day, night and day. 24-hour period. We go through this cycle. go to bed, wake up, go to bed, wake up. You know, where it's we have time and we can set up a calendar. We're not going to have any way to do that in eternity because there's not going to be any heavenly objects to determine time because there will be no need for time. Won't that be nice? Won't have to keep track of this or that, and you won't have to sleep. Hey, make me hungry for heaven, eternity. 2,000 years or more stands between Christ's resurrection, a glorified body, and the saints' bodily resurrection. When does the resurrection rapture of the saints occur? At Christ's coming and no sooner. Okay, important point. Highlight that if you got a pen. Highlight it. In Colossians 1:18, you don't have this, but you can write the reference down. The Bible says, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He's the first one, firstborn or the first fruit from the dead that's been resurrected, the Bible, that in all things he might have the preeminence. When does Christ reign over his kingdom? At his coming, when his throne is established on this present earth, and that is when his saints will reign with him. The kingdom he will inherit is not in heaven. The kingdom he will inherit is not in kingdom. Look at these passages. Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, before I understood the kingdom teaching, I was like, what is this? What is this talking about? We're going to inherit the earth. I want to be in heaven. I want to be in heaven. And then when I started understanding the kingdom, I started learning more about this. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Our Lord is the meekest man ever to live. Thus, rightly so, he will inherit the earth, and all the earthly kingdoms will coalesce into his kingdom. It says in Revelation 11:15, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So that's a future event. And the saints will be joint heirs with him, and we learn that in Romans chapter 8. Verse 17, the saints will be joint heirs, those who live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. It says in Revelation 26, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, and they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we will be joint heirs and reigning. We will be kings and priests, the book of Revelation says. Jesus' inheritance is yet future, though he is resurrected. Jesus' inheritance is yet future, though he is resurrected. Bible says here, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Now that is a prophetic statement. It's not actual. It's not taking place in Zion right now. He will set his king upon his holy hill of Zion. It's as if it's done already. It's going to happen. It's not if, but it is as if it already happened. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I gotten thee, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of heaven for thy possession. Did I read that right? No, what does it say? Earth. The uttermost part of the earth for thy possession.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13,500 Tegeler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. No.